I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later on our monthly soundbite segment, we're going to meet two St. Louis butchers who will explain why they left the restaurant business to become butchers and open their own shops and how their shops are different from the supermarket meat counters. We'll also hear about a new exhibition of Polynesian art at the St. Louis Art Museum. We begin today, though, with jazz pianist Peter Martin, who's been keeping very busy. He's performing through Saturday at Jazz at the Bistro with David Sanborn. He's part of next Friday's 250 Years of St. Louis Music at the Sheldon. And then there's the Peter Martin Music Live Series, which begins next month. Peter Martin, welcome to Cityscape. I'm surprised you had time to drop by.
Thanks a lot, Steve. It's always fun to be here.
You have been pretty busy. I was just, as a matter of fact, I was just talking to Whit Marsalis about you.
Ah, okay, yeah.
And he had some very kind things to say. You guys had a long relationship. He told the story of when you met. Were you in high school, I guess?
I was in high school, and it was actually, you know, right here in Grand Center at Powell Symphony Hall. He was playing with the St. Louis Symphony, and my father was playing in the orchestra at the time and introduced me. And Wint was so supportive, and it was really fun because when I saw him the other day for the opening of the new Jazz at the Bistro, when I went back into his dressing room, opened the door, and he's in there talking to a high school kid, a really good bass player from St. Louis, and it's a nice circle that continues to go. And he's so great. He did a wonderful workshop up at Normandy High School that morning that
right.
He was telling me about.
Yeah.
So he's an amazing educator and musician.
Yeah, he was here, and of course we had a really good time talking with him. You've been doing all the things I just mentioned. Plus, I think just the other night, you played with the 442s at Pell Hall.
Right. I love those guys. I love playing in Powell Hall. We had so much fun. Unfortunately, I had to leave because I had another gig, but I played with them for 15 minutes, and it was such a joy. I mean, I'm really looking forward. We've been talking about doing more things, and we are going to do more things, so it's something that's on the horizon that I'm very excited about.
And I'm curious about a fellowship that you recently received from the Regional Arts Commission.
Right. I was a huge honor because I'm among a group of 10 artists, dancers, creative folks that received this inaugural year, 2013, a new program that the RAC is doing. One of the things that's enabled me to do is to spend more time in St. Louis. So this next couple of months, although I'm leaving a little bit, but I basically turned down some tours because I wanted to work on some things locally. I didn't really know what they were at the time. And then all these wonderful things kind of opened up, like working with David Sanborn the last few nights, the concert next week with Alarm Will Sound. And so it's been a beautiful thing for me just to be able to open up, you know, the local world to me, to be able to be creative and connect with the 442s and all these things that I want to do that are very difficult to do when you're in Japan or Europe or
right.
whatever.
There must be part of touring you like. Is it sort of a love-hate thing?
Yeah, actually, I love it. I love it. There's not much I don't enjoy when I'm playing with great musicians. I was recently in South Africa and in Japan within the last, like, 3 weeks. And, you know, I never take it for granted to be able to go to these places and perform music and meet people and bring my art with other great musicians to people. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, like we mentioned already, you're performing with some other musicians, including saxophonist David Sanborn at Jazz at the Bistro. I guess people know he's from Kirkwood originally. He's on the St. Louis Walk of Fame. And I don't know, when you think of smooth jazz, I guess his name pretty much comes to mind first, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, he is just an amazing musician, somebody I've admired from afar since I was a kid. And I was telling him that at rehearsal. I don't think he appreciated that, you know, to have an old dude tell him he's been listening to him since he was 12 years old.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy. And we're actually, last couple of nights and then through Saturday, we've been doing a nice variety. Some of his smooth jazz hits and some blues stuff, some jazz stuff. You know, he's a very versatile musician and he really, you know, is adapted to playing in this new room beautifully.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, the new room at Jazz at the Bistro. How do you like it?
It's great. It's really even better than, you know, my studio is in the building right behind it, so I've been peeking out the window all summer, and I know a lot about their construction techniques, I can tell you that, and it's even better than I realized it could be. I think when folks go in there, I mean, the old room was great and so many wonderful memories. I mean, I did a live recording there like 12 years ago and heard so many great musicians, and it really, you know, keeps the spirit of the old room. Somebody I was thinking about a lot the first night I was in there and the last few nights playing with David Sanborn is Richard McDonald, and how excited he would have been, you know, to be in there, and how much of his spirit is still there even though the room is new.
We're talking with jazz pianist Peter Martin. Well, next Friday at the Sheldon, It's a big deal, really. 250 years of St. Louis music, American music at its best. That's how they're billing it. And there are a lot of great artists, including you.
Yes, I'm but a speck among some luminaries from many different styles. I mean, I was amazed when they first started talking about doing this in how much ground they wanted to cover. But I think we have a really good game plan on how we're going to do this. And, you know, a big part of it is folks are encouraged to come early. I think 6:30 is when the doors open.
Right.
The concert's at 8, but there's going to be music flowing in all the different rooms. And some folks that have, like, been to the Sheldon and have only been in the concert hall don't realize there's a couple other performing spaces.
Ballroom upstairs.
The ballroom
is really
upstairs,
nice, yeah.
Exactly. When I first played the Sheldon when I was like 15 years old, they would only let me in the ballroom. It took me a while to get down to the concert hall, but there's some great spaces. The art galleries are going to be open. There's going to be music, drinks.
I don't doubt it. And quite a few artists that have been on this program. I was looking it over. Like, people like Denise Times, Kim Massey, Billy Peek. Who am I leaving out? Do you mention Alarm Will Sound?
Yeah. Alarm Will Sound, right. Willie Aiken, one of my favorite saxophonists for many years, he's going to be there. Eric Slaughter will be playing guitar. Chris Thomas, bassist, fellow UCitian that's living in France. Now he's going to be playing bass with me and some other folks.
So will you actually be performing with some of the people we just mentioned?
I hope so.
Not sure?
No, I definitely will be. I'm going to try to play with as many as I mean, I was joking with them. I said, man, this is a good list of St. Louis people. All you got to do is pull out Scott Joplin, and then I'll really be impressed if he shows up.
Well, all of this is celebrating the music of St. Louis, and of course, St. Louis is celebrating its 250th anniversary this year. So when we're talking about music, oh, gee, where does it begin? Ragtime in St. Louis, I guess?
Well, I think it starts way before that, but in terms of, like, you know, the jazz and blues, like the roots of that, yeah, probably ragtime. And it's probably St. Louis's biggest contributor to, you know, modern music and all the things that flowed from that. I mean, of course, there's a great jazz tradition and history and lineage in St. Louis, but ragtime was huge. I mean, when Jelly Roll Morton came up on the riverboat with the other New Orleans guys and interfaced with the ragtime guys, that really changed the sound and the progression of how jazz went. And when it got up to Chicago, that added a whole other element too. But the ragtime is huge.
But even blues and jazz, we here in St. Louis can claim a pretty significant role in that type of music too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, especially blues. And then jazz, I mean, you know, the piece that I wrote for Alarm Will Sound is really dedicated and influenced by Miles
Davis. And they'll
be
performing that next week at this event, right?
They will be performing it, right.
Yeah.
And I will be listening and I'm really looking forward to it. It's never been played because I just finished writing it a couple of weeks ago.
What can you tell us about it?
Well, you know, I tried to incorporate some St. Louis elements because that's what they wanted. But then when I realized, I said, well, you know, I grew up here. I'm like steeped in all the music that's come out of St. Louis. So that I didn't really have to think about it that much. It was kind of fun. I could just sort of do my own thing. You know, I call the name of the tune, it's composition, whatever you want to call it, is Miles Re-Vision, Re-Vision. So it's definitely, you know, influenced by Miles and kind of an homage to him. But he covered such a varied and great musical spectrum and playing during his career, both as a trumpeter, as a composer, and as a band leader, that it's very exciting to even do something in homage to him, because you can kind of go anywhere. And so this piece definitely has jazz elements. It has funk elements. It's written for a contemporary classical group, Alarm Will Sound, but a very flexible group. So I really take it a number of different directions, but it's one piece, one movement. It's got one groove that stays there the whole time with a lot of crazy stuff on top of it.
You know, Miles Davis is finally being honored with a statue. And I don't know if you knew about that.
I did hear.
He grew up in East St. Louis, of course, but he was born in Alton, Illinois, and they've commissioned an artist in Alton, and they're going to have a statue in the Downtown Entertainment District, I think supposed to be done sometime next year. So,
yeah,
long time coming.
But. Exactly. Long time overdue, but I'm glad it's happening.
Well, we don't have the piece that you wrote for Alarm Will Sound that's going to be performed next week. It's part of this 250 years of St. Louis music, but we do have something else from you. This was recorded live in 2012 in New Orleans. Set it up for us.
Yes, this is a song that I wrote called Cuba, New Orleans, and it's really about two cities and the musical influences that have influenced me a lot. And it's Cuba, the country, not Cuba, Missouri. Some people from here think it's, which is a great place too, and New Orleans. And it's my take on the both the grooves from both those places and, you know, something we have a lot of fun with.
And that's Peter Martin on the piano. I like the way that moves.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I always heard these connections between Cuban music in New Orleans kind of through the lens of jazz. And I know, you know, I used to live in New Orleans for a long time and know a lot of musicians from there. And then I know a lot of Cuban jazz musicians that I've met over the years from touring. And I always heard these similarities within the grooves and within the harmonic structure. So I just kind of wrote it, not even trying to overtly do that. But then I realized that's where it was coming from.
Well, once you get next weekend behind you, it'll be just about time for Peter Martin Music Live to begin. That's been going, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. Have you been doing that series at the Sheldon?
Right. Yeah, I think we're 4 or 5 years now. And it's just kind of grown organically. And the first concert this fall will be November 21st. It's going to be a duo with an amazing clarinetist and saxophonist named Anat Cohen, who was here earlier in the year. We were together with a group that we used to tour with for the Newport Jazz Festival. And she's a great New York. She's originally from Israel, but she's been in New York for years. And she's really, really the top clarinetist and one of the top, if not the top, saxophonists on the New York scene. And we have a real rapport together. So she, you know, has been on my list to do this in terms of duo. So I'm so glad that it all came together.
And the second in your series will be towards the end of February. Have you got all that planned out yet?
I have some ideas, but they're not finalized. So that's going to be kind of a surprise. I think by the time we do the when I started the series, we used to plan each concert right before the one concert, because I would call people that I was touring with just, you know, a couple of months in advance. And then, it, you know, they asked, they said, well, we want to do a brochure. That I said, well, that would be cool. Have a picture of me or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we got a little more organized. But this year I really wanted to get back to it being a little bit more spontaneous, because, you know, I talk to people, my audience and stuff, and say, you know, what kind of things are you interested in? I get a lot of opportunities from friends that I have and people that I tour with when it's a little bit more last minute, as opposed to calling them a year in advance.
I was going to say, a lot of times it really is a year in advance for people.
Yeah,
it really
yeah.
Is,
and know? I mean, if you have a tour, but if I say, are you available, you know, 2016 on this Saturday night to come to St. Louis, it's a little bit more difficult.
Well, let's recap. You'll be performing tonight and tomorrow night at Jazz at the Bistro with David Sanborn.
Right.
And some other fine musicians.
Yeah, can I just throw that out, because David really wanted this to be an all St. Louis band, and we talked about this, like,
please do. Yeah.
You know, 9 months ago. So it's Eric Slaughter on guitar, who's an amazing guitarist, Chris Thomas on bass, equally amazing, and Montez Coleman from East St. Louis on drums. So it's really been fun, and just, you know, we've been backstage in between every set, and David tells us stories about the old days in St. Louis, and we hear all these, you know, Big Joe Charles and Oliver Sane and all the history of St. Louis music when he was coming up before our time. So it's been a lot of fun.
Maybe he'll come on Cityscape one of these days.
That would be nice.
Mention that to him.
He's a block away, so maybe.
Maybe he'll walk over. In the meantime, though, I want to remind people that the Sheldon presents 250 years of St. Louis music, American music at its best. That's next Friday. Doors open at 6:30. There'll be music then. The concert begins at 8, and there'll be music all over the building. Not only Peter Martin, but people like Denise Times, Kim Massey, Billy Peake, Alarm will sound. If you'd like more information about that, go to stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to the Sheldon, also, Peter, to your website, so people can find out what's going on with Peter Martin Music Live.
And at that concert also, there's a group called the Ilphonics that I just got hip to recently, and that's going to be some of the – they're really kind of a hip-hop fusion group, and I've been checking out their stuff on SoundCloud, and that's going to be nice because, you know, St. Louis has a great hip-hop tradition as well,
mm-hmm.
and I want to give a shout-out to the Sheldon for recognizing that and including that with the other styles. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we look forward to everything you're doing. Peter Martin, thanks for taking the time. It's always good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Coming up next on Cityscape, a new exhibition opens at the St. Louis Art Museum. This is St. Louis Public Radio.